to explore Psalm 8 this morning, and I'm hoping my microphone stays good. I think it will. And the theme is God's guidance in an age of uncertainty, and that's really important because we do live in our uncertain times. You know, there's always this awareness that any year 2024, anything could happen. It's full of potential, actually, for mayhem. You know, already we've had plenty in 2023 with wars going on or wars breaking out or disaster. We know Mawar, we've lived through a typhoon. We know that, you know, I think the report this morning was that every state in the United States, except for Guam, was under a weather watch of some form or another. There was a flood in New Jersey, in Paterson, New Jersey. There's lots of snow sweeping across the whole country. Lots of maybe rain in California. That's just part of life. It's mayhem. But in the midst of it all, we trust in God to guide us. We trust in God to lead us through. He will. As we put our trust in Him, He is reliable. He is faithful. He is the one in whom we can trust. As we direct, put our faith and trust in Him, He will direct our steps. He will show us the way to go. Even in the midst of bad news via media, the newspapers. I know newspapers is kind of old-fashioned in a way. I mean, even now, the Guam Daily News and the other papers come on my feed, on my phone, you know, by an email or by a text message. But that's fine. In the media, we hear about bad news every day. But God still leads us beside quiet waters. That's His promise. That in the midst of it all, He will find and again, provide us places in which we can be renewed and restored and find our peace. We need to live out our lives trusting in God to guide us. This is in Psalm 48, the last verse of verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the very end. It's a wonderful promise, and we're going to reflect on that as we go on in our service. Dear Lord, we come to pray to You, asking for Your illumination upon our words of sermon and our meditation on Your Scripture, on opening up the Bible and always finding their meaning and purpose and strength for believing and trusting in You, Lord. Not everything is easy to understand, but we thank You that we can always explore our relationship with You through the Scriptures, and we can follow our Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised us the power of the Holy Spirit to give us guidance in what we study and seek to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this psalm is a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Now I know they add these little texts here about psalms. I do believe a lot of them were sung. There was a lot of singing going on in the Old Testament. And it's why we put a lot of music. In fact, the gray book that we used to sing out of is called a Psalter Hymnal. Because it's on the Psalms put to music, and then hymns and songs as well. And the sons of Korah must have been leaders, like having musical gifts being offered to lead our worship. They were involved in the music ministry. So here is the text we're going to read. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, in the city of our God, in His holy mountain. Beautiful in His loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown Himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish shattered by an east wind. They were all driven away these kings coming in enmity against Jerusalem. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her. Count her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the very end. Let us reflect on the road ahead. We move forward now into this next year, 2024, and we are instructed in many ways to place our trust in the Lord as we forge ahead by many instructions and many examples. And I'm going to lead you through a number of those examples in a moment. When there's a need to go down a new road you have not traveled before, trust in God to provide for you and show you the way. When Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden, nevertheless, God dressed Adam and Eve in their animal skins before they set out into the world to make a home in conditions that would be hard and difficult. No matter what the circumstance, they could rely on God to lead them through. Then in Genesis 6, there is this experience of Noah. And in the text, it says there, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was evil all the time. So the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. God was grieved, and he was deeply troubled. Sin grieves the Lord. That's one of the most striking verses, I think, in the Bible. God is deeply troubled, and out of his pain, he says, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created. But the verse 8 says, but Noah. There's a big but Noah, and that's another striking verse. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah was told by God to build the ark, the vessel that would carry him and his family to life through the flood. They were going to be carried by the ark to life. And God guided them through until they came off the ark to begin building a new life. And you can see Noah way in the distance by the boat. You see a lot of animals, cute pandas. I'll just say Hillary and I saw some pandas in Japan when we were in Tokyo, the zoo. Not in China. They have some pandas in Japan too. But the important thing is God guided them through. He guided them into the ark and he guided them through the flood to the other side. God was there at the Tower of Babel when they were trying to build a way to heaven on their own. And then he took the people and the languages and he scattered them over the earth so that they would have a hard time. Let me tell you, that's another experience in Tokyo. It's hard to understand those Japanese letters. We didn't find a lot of people speaking English, but you can manage always because they're very hospitable. And then God called Abram out of the city-state of Ur and then led him every step of the way in his sojourn on the way to the land of Canaan. And he was with him always. And then his son Jacob, his grandson Jacob, when he fled, he found the way by the Lord's help and his guiding to his uncle Laban to find safety there to be away from his brother Esau, wanted to kill him. And he went to Laban, and he was able to go there and find a home and find work and everything. And the story goes on. And then eventually, Jacob marries Leah. That's a trick. Wants to marry Rachel, and he marries her and has children. And then all of those people and all of his animals, he's led by the Lord all the way back to Canaan when he leaves Laban again. God leading the way. And then you have God leading the children of Israel into Egypt. And they go into Egypt, and they become part of the fabric of their society and their civilization, and their eventually led into slave conditions where they have to work under a brutal regime. And yet God is there with them. But then he leads Moses through his whole exile. Moses was brought up in the palace, but then he was having to run for his life because he killed a man, an Egyptian man. And then he wandered in the wilderness of Midian, and he was herding sheep. But God led him as he brought him into contact with him in the burning bush, and he gave Moses his instructions to go to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he went to lead the people out of slavery. And so the Lord is the one who guides. He guides us to the very end. And we're reminded of Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. And he leads us beside quiet waters to a place of refreshing and renewing. God is leading and guiding us. In this Psalm 48, the Lord leads the people of Israel to establish Mount Zion as God's holy mountain. The place where God leads them to build his temple, to bear his most holy name. And that is why the Psalm 48 sings about Zion. Sings about how beautiful it is. It says that, of course, not Zion is being praised, but God is being praised through Zion. In the city of our God. And the beauty of it is really in the presence of the Lord. Because God is the great King. And he has chosen to dwell there, and it is a joy. You know, we do not understand really at all what Jerusalem meant in the Middle East when Jerusalem was a place of worship, when it had a great temple. But all the people, all the tribes, all the peoples in the area knew that Jerusalem was the place the Jews went to pray. And many people would join them and really felt inspired by them. When Muhammad, who was leader of the Arabs, you know, became their prophet, the Arabic tribes all knew that Jerusalem was a holy city with God's temple, and they would focus on it. Even after the destruction of the temple, they still focused their prayers originally on Jerusalem. It's only after Muhammad and his Muslim followers took over Mecca, and when they could establish Mecca as the center, then they found this black rock, they call it, in the middle of Mecca. And then all Muslims all over the world pray to Mecca. But originally, they prayed to Jerusalem. And so talking about it like this, as the psalmist is doing, is quite normal. And where God dwells, he will make that a beautiful place. This is a picture of the city, the mountain of Zion, the area of Jerusalem. It's an elevated area. And in the place there, there's the beauty of God displayed. Because beauty is in the character of God. God builds beauty into the earth. He builds beauty into our lives. He wants us to understand the most breathtaking beauty is God's to provide and to bless us with, to which we respond then with praise, as Psalm 48 says. God is in the citadels of Mount Zion. He's shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings join forces and they advance, they end up becoming astounded. They flee in terror. When enemies come against the Lord's people, he strikes terror into their hearts and makes them tremble and be filled with dread. That's why we trust in the Lord to guide us, even when we have to go through troubled times. In the leading of his people, God will provide a quiet place in which we can meditate on God's unfailing love, quiet waters, and green pastures. If you take the time, God will bless you in it. This is a picture of the beauty God has put in creation. This is a picture of the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. In Exodus 14, the people are panicking over the Egyptians following them. But just trust in the Lord and stay calm. The Lord will lead you through. He will protect you. He will guard you. He will guide you. And then, as I was saying, if you take the time, God will bless you in it. He will give you refreshing waters and green pastures. Meditate upon his word, and you will be blessed. God in Psalm 48 is of renown, and that is true of him. He's got the whole world in his hands. There is no corner of the earth where human beings do not contemplate how they got here. How did we even come on the earth? Who has final authority for us living in our lives? You know, final authority. And we know how flawed human government is. Who has final authority? Who is human government accountable to? It's a question that's asked everywhere. And whose law ought we to follow? And ultimately, whose law is the basis for which all of the laws should be built? And it's God's law. And who can help us in our desperate state of sin? Who can deliver us? Who can bring us from out of darkness into light? Who can deliver us but only God, who can guide us? The Lord guided the people of Israel through their sojourn, traversing a desert wilderness, by bringing them a cloud of cover against the burning hot sun. That's a reference to some of the congregation I know go out walking before dark and dawn so that they don't have to face the burning hot sun. Guam, the sun never really fails to burn hot, and so you stay in the shade. And that's really important. God gave a covering to his people of cloud over the day to prevent the hot sun from making the thing so miserable they couldn't carry on. But he also gave them a pillar of fire at night. So he guided them through their sojourn. He was protecting them and watching over them. He was providing for them. He was defending them and guarding them. That's our God. So what does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's the first reference to leading. And then it says, he restores my soul. We don't always remember this part of the verse. I know I don't. I've always looked, you know, because the next thing is the valley of the shadow of death. That usually triumphs over. We remember the still waters and green pastures. But he restores our souls, and he guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is our God. He is with us, guiding us. And that's not the only place it talks about. The Bible is full of the examples and references to God's guiding. So I was talking to you about the stories. But here in Psalm 73, verse 24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. It's almost a mirror reference of the verse of 48, verse 14. This is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Same thing in Psalm 73, 24. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. And of course, the counsel of the Lord is the power and working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working to help us know our way, to help us find our way. And then in Psalm 139, 7 to 10, the psalmist there says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." As you read that part of that psalm, think of Jonah. Jonah and the whale, right? Jonah gets a command from the Lord to go to Nineveh and preach to them to have them repent. He says, "No, I don't want to do this." So he runs on, he gets on a ship, and he's fleeing away. Fleeing away to the ends of the earth. And God finds him. And he causes a big storm. And Jonah knows God is chasing after him. And so he says to the shipmates, he says, "Just throw me into the ocean. Because you get rid of me, a storm will pass by and you'll be okay." So they throw Jonah in the ocean. The big fish swallows him up. And he gets taken to the shore and coughed out. And from there he goes on to Nineveh and does what God asked him to do. But this psalm reminds us that no matter where we go, God will be with us. No matter what extremity we're in. Whatever difficult, dark place we're in struggle, God is with us. He will guide us. And then the psalm goes on, verse 9, it says, "If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea," and that's where I pick up this reference, "even if I dwell by the farthest oceans," and this I chose because of Guam. Look where we are. When I was telling people I'm going to Guam, Guam, where even is it? It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. When I go to Japan, and I said, "We're from Guam." We love going, traveling around and saying we're from Guam. Where is it? I always just say it's somewhere between the Philippines and Japan and South Korea and, Hawaii's out there. And, it's a place in the middle of the oceans. But even here, our God's hand will guide us and His strength will support us, as He has. For so many people crisscrossing Guam, it's a crossroads for people. And here, the Lord, His right hand will guide us. And His right hand will hold us fast. He's going to secure us and make sure that we are cared for. God will guide us to the very end. Remember Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch. Antioch is over there on the right by Syria, Antioch, Aleppo. Antioch was an ancient, big, one of the major cities of the Mediterranean world. And Paul and Barnabas were there worshiping with a group in Acts. You read about them. And they get called by the Holy Spirit to go on a missionary journey. And the Holy Spirit and the church blesses them and sends them out. Now, they don't go to some strange foreign place. They don't. Paul and Barnabas go to Cyprus. That's not far away. They know Antioch's a trading city. So they know Cypriots come trading in their city all the time. But not only that, Barnabas is from Cyprus. So it's not some wild, go off on a missionary journey, don't know where you're going. He'll be with you. And he uses Barnabas' contacts. He grew up in Cyprus. He knows people there. He knows how to find his way. He perhaps knows the local language. So when God sends them, He's using their own native, what's it built into them. That's what I'm saying. God's not just going to send you out into some wild goose chase. And then not only that, when they go to Asia Minor, we called it, and now it's called Turkey, look where they travel. Tilia, Perga, Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. Then look to the right. What's the next city? Tarsus. Who's from Tarsus? Paul. He's from Tarsus. So that's Paul's neighborhood. Paul knows those people. They trade. Tarsus is a trading city. So the people that he went to go preach to, they didn't know him personally, but he knew who they were. He knew some of their characters. There was a trading road that would go right through Tarsus. So again, it wasn't something foreign. God used what was built into them. God will guide you. He will lead you. With your right hand, He will hold you fast. He will protect you. And then when Paul on his missionary journey was sent from Asia, God called him to go to Philippi. You remember how he called him? What Paul wasn't meaning, he was going to stay in Asia Minor. But God visited Paul in a dream, and an angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, go to Europe. Now, he didn't have to travel far. He said go to Philippi, Thessalonica, down to Athens, Corinth, and he got into Europe, Greece. And of course, later, much later on, Paul was a prisoner and he got sailed over to Rome. God used all of that to build his church. He guided him. And Paul did travel a lot. But God was leading and guiding him and showing him the way. The bottom line of what I'm trying to say is this: God will guide you. He will use important landmarks to help guide you. I just chose four landmarks here. Mount Rushmore. Where's Mount Rushmore? Kim, be quiet. South Dakota. South Dakota, Kim's home state. And Stonehenge in England, famous for being in England. The Opera House in Sydney, the Eiffel Tower in Paris. You know, if any missionary goes to these places from their home, maybe they live in the United States, maybe they live in Korea, whatever, they're going to refer to these things, you know. They're landmarks, but they're familiar things. And you say, I'm going to identify with the people of those places. And the people of France know about the Eiffel Tower. It's their Eiffel Tower. People of England know about the Stonehenge. It's part of their fabric of their culture. Australia is just famous for this opera house. It's quite an architectural wonder. And it's an amazing place. And Mount Rushmore. But what I'm saying is that God will use important landmarks in your life that are important to you to help guide you. He'll give you reference points and significant guideposts to lead you, you know. Guideposts like this telling you which way to go and then go up on the trail, on the pathway. If you've ever been hiking and they're supposed to mark the route with a yellow patch on the trees or something, you know. Hopefully you find the yellow patch everywhere. It's not been worn off. God will guide you and he'll inspire you by the Holy Spirit. We just have to trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you so much that wherever we find ourselves at a crossroads, we need to just listen carefully. Voices of people we know and trust will help us. Prayers offered will help us. Lord, you will nudge us and you will leave your mark upon us by your Holy Spirit. And thank you that you will use things that are part of our lives already to help build us up to the place where we can be fully in your will. Lord, I'm not here to give everybody a formula for how to know your will, but I'm asking us all to remember that you will guide us, Lord, that you will lead us, our good shepherd, leading us beside the quiet waters and the green pastures where we can be fed and nourished and refreshed and renewed, and you restore our souls in this way, Lord, and then you lead us in paths of righteousness, for your name's sake, for it's your purpose, Lord, to use us, to use all of us in whatever place we are and lead us and guide us in that place. And Lord, if there's a new direction to go, that you will show us how to go that way. And if we even take a dead-end road, Lord, or go down a wrong fork, you can help us with that. You can bring us back to where we're supposed to be going. We praise you for your patience. We praise you for your power. We praise you for your faithfulness, O God. In your name we pray. Amen.